And while you go ahead and turn there, let me go ahead and get you up to date a little bit, since we have a lot of guests, what we've been up to for the last few weeks here at Calvary. About 6 weeks ago, we got started on a series simply called By Faith. Prior to that series, we actually did a little bit of time where we talked about faith and what faith is. And so after that, I kind of, going through the planning process, thought, you know what, it's one thing to know what faith is, but it's quite another to know what faith does. And so we decided we were going to go through Hebrews chapter 11 and go through all the different people who are recognized by what they did with their faith. They all had different stories, they all had different personalities, but they all had the same faith. And then they did something different with each of their stories and the circumstances that they faced, the challenges, all of that. So they did something with their faith. So even though their circumstances were different, they did something different. Faith was in common with all of them. My hope has been that as we go through their stories, we'd look at it almost like a Swiss Army knife. If you've seen a little Swiss Army knife that has all the different utensils on there, it's one knife, but it's got all sorts of things on there for the circumstances you're going to come across. And so that's how we've been approaching as we go through Hebrews chapter 10. My hope at going through this series over the last 6 weeks has been that we can go from something general like, I can do anything, like up here it says, we can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. There's passages that talk about how with faith anything is possible. But what I really wanted to look at was some of the specific things we can do, specific applications for our faith here at Chicago Calvary. Because of the particular occasion this morning in the life of the church, instead of talking about someone else's faith, as we've been going through in the last few weeks, looking at Moses and Noah and Abraham, Jacob, instead of looking at their stories, we're instead going to look at the story of my faith. For the past month and a half, actually, it's been pretty difficult trying to work on the other messages over the last few weeks because I get to thinking about this particular day and what I wanted to say on this particular day. How would I describe my faith over the years? And so the last few weeks, I've had to stop myself. Okay, I need to focus on this week's material, this week's message. We'll get to this particular message later on. So my mind's been pretty busy thinking about this particular week. We're going to go ahead and read in Hebrews chapter 10. The first thing about my faith, just in describing it, if I were to boil it down, my thoughts over the last few weeks has been this. My faith is surrounded by lettuce. I know it sounds odd, and I know that people around here know that I talk a lot about gardening. I know it's a weird thing. This year was actually the first year I grew lettuce in the garden, and I got to tell you, things that you grow in your own garden always taste better. But that's not the lettuce I actually have in mind. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, I'm going to start reading in verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read the first few verses there. These are basically things that bookend this chapter of faith that we have in Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If my faith is anything like the people of faith that we read about in chapter 11, if there's anything similar about it, it is this. My faith, like their faith, is surrounded by let us, by others, by a community of faith, by a fellowship of believers. This morning, I actually want to coin a new word. It's kind of a mixing together of two different words, and the word is this, fellow-shaped. I have a faith that is fellow-shaped by which I mean a faith that is shaped by the fellowship. And by the fellowship, I mean everyone here. You have shaped my faith. Maybe it was as a child, maybe it was as a junior higher, high schooler, college student, as an adult child, hopefully now as an adult. There's been all sorts of stages in my life, and some of you have been through all of them, some for just a few. The fact of the matter is that you are invited here this morning because chances are very likely that I would not be here if it had not been for you. So you're the ones to blame or thank, however you want to look at it. There are two particular things about my faith that are directly shaped by you. 12 years ago, I consistently found myself in situations surrounded by groups of people, large and small, who didn't know my story at all, didn't know the things that I was going through. And that was a regular thing. Everywhere I go, I just kind of think they don't have a clue. Whether I was at work or even at church, I was constantly surrounded by people that just didn't know. Deep inside of me, what I had was fear, not faith. Fear that if people knew my story, they would feel very differently about me, maybe possibly even treat me differently. So my fears kept me quiet for a long time, which is surprising now because I hardly ever shut up. And you can ask my wife on that. And thinking about what it was like back then, especially on a morning like today, thinking about what it was like to be quiet and to not be known, it's quite a weird thing to be in a room like this right now where everybody pretty much knows my story. What started with a small group that had a safe and loving space for me to share my story opened up more and more space in my life with more and more people to share and get to know and to be known as well. You shaped my faith by squashing every single fear that I had internally imagined. And you did it by being some of the most forgiving, gracious, and loving people that I've ever known. Not only did you shape my faith in people's ability to accept me, but many of you, if not all of you, have also shaped my faith in God's ability to use me as well. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what Plan B was going to look like for my life, a life outside of ministry that I'd went to school for. I was very certain 15 years ago that I had preached my last sermon. When Lori and I had met, we had a date weekend where we had a bunch of things going on, and a friend of mine had asked me if I could fill in on a Sunday morning, and I already had in my mind that was going to be the last time I'd ever preach. I was definitely wrong. Something changed. Newton's first law of motion states that an object at rest stays at rest unless acted upon by an unbalanced force. When it came to God's call in my life and where I was in life at that time, I was at rest. I wasn't moving. I wasn't growing. I was in a very static situation trying to figure out, what do I do now? What do I do next? Earlier, I read about Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith. And one of the key ways that he perfects our faith is by the spurring on and the spurring of others. When Lori and I got married, I wasn't the least bit interested in horses or horse races. And if you know Lori, you know she's a Kentucky girl at heart, and she loves watching the Kentucky Derby, along with her family. They wear the Derby hats and all, except for Steve. Steve doesn't wear a Derby hat. But the ladies, they all love wearing their Derby hats. Horses can be big, stubborn beasts, and so can I. But even a big, stubborn beast can be redirected and set into motion when acted upon by spurs. This morning, I bear the marks of someone who has been lovingly spurred forward out of a static life that wasn't moving toward God's call in my life. One step at a time, you shaped my faith in ways that not only allowed me to re-envision a life of ministry, but it also provided opportunities for me to actually do it. Over the years, I've been involved in all sorts of different ministries throughout the church and outside of the church. And you, through that process and allowing me to do that, I've been able to discover and use my particular gifts. You did not allow me to sit still. You didn't allow me to sit off to the side and just observe. You got me involved, and you spurred me every step of the way. And you've also spurred me in more ways than just my external activities. My mind has been spurred on as well. My mind is not the same as it was 20 years ago or 15 years ago or even 5 years ago today, and many of you are to blame or thank for that as well. While there are definitely some things that are the same as far as my beliefs and understandings about things, there are a whole lot of things that have changed over the years as well. The plants that I planted in my garden in May are by all means the same plants that I have in my garden right now, except for they've changed by growing and fruit and blossoms. There's so many things that take place when things grow, when things change. One of my favorite verses is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have spurred growth when it comes to the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you have done it through countless thousands of conversations over numerous years. You have made your lives accessible to me as you have shared your deep questions, the things that you wrestle with when you try to figure out what it means to be a follower of Christ and a student of Scripture. You have provided more than enough things for my already busy mind to consider as I too wrestle with what it means to be a follower of Christ first and a student of Scripture second. For those of you that have been a part of Chicago Calvary Church the Nazarene, I have some good news and I have some bad news. I'm the kind of person that likes to do the bad news first, so it's always getting better after that. And here's the bad news. Despite the best efforts of a whole bunch of people sprinkled all the way through this congregation, despite their love and grace, despite their spurring, despite a whole host of things that have been a part of my fellow shaping, their influence on my life, despite all of that, they are handing off to you an unfinished product. If that's a surprise to you, if you are shocked by that, you must not have been paying attention for the last 6 months that I've been filling in. I've done everything I could to show you every single weakness and flaw, and this is what you're getting. Not what you're going to end up with, but this is what you're getting from the beginning. You know exactly who I am, cracks and all. In some areas, it may seem like something more similar to a chasm than a crack, a big space there, when it comes to growing in grace and in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Cracks that can be filled with more knowledge, chasms that can be filled with more grace, or cracks that can be filled with more grace and chasms that can be filled with more knowledge. I do fully realize that not everyone's experience of me is the same. Some think I need more grace, some think I need more knowledge, but I do realize there's plenty of room for growth there. I highly doubt that anyone in this room would say that I have no cracks and I'm perfect, not even my mom. So if my mom won't do it, I know nobody else will. If there is a hand, go ahead and raise your hand and we can pray for your blindness issues because those faults are clearly visible. Admittedly, I'm far from perfect, but here's the good news. I have a hope-filled confidence that there is a season of growth on the horizon that I have never, ever experienced before. For the past 10 to 12 years, much of the growth that I have experienced has been a low-grade incline of growth. Little by little, here by here, small victories along the way. But here's something that I've seen in my garden that maybe you've seen before. I know there's a lot of people here with gardens, and so maybe you've seen this before. When it comes to plants, there's a time when it seems like there's not a whole lot happening. In the very beginning, there's a lot happening. You see a little sprout, and it grows up really quick, but then it hits this phase where it doesn't seem like anything's going on. And then all of a sudden, you see blossoms appear, and the fruit starts appearing, and then it seems like things are really busy again. But prior to that, it seems like there's not a whole lot going on. Not only are there seasons where more growth is possible, but there are also locations where more growth is possible. The picture we have on the screen is actually, I took that just this morning. This is the raised garden bed with my strawberries on one end. They actually fill up most of it. On the far end is some raspberry bushes. I mentioned Edna earlier. She gave me these little raspberry shoots for me to plant, and they've just kind of taken over. So not only are that... when Laura and I moved into this house, actually, it was a couple years ago, and the first thing I wanted to do was turn the backyard into a garden. I don't like mowing, but I really wanted to get a garden started, so I figured I would build some boxes. You see the garage there in the background. Along the edge of that garage, there was actually a bunch of strawberries. And so that first spring, they were growing up there, and we managed to get a few strawberries along the way. But there were some problems with that. Later on, we actually moved the strawberries, a few strawberries in there, we moved them into the box, and as you can see, the strawberries have taken over pretty well. Later on, as the year went on with those strawberries, one of the problems was the fact that along the edge there, it kept in the shade all the time, it stayed damp all the time, which attracted bugs, and so there were always bugs getting to the strawberries before I could. So I moved them into the box to get them into the light and into better soil, and their growth has been ridiculous. As you can see, they're actually growing over the edge and trying to grow in the regular grass around the box itself. So those strawberries have multiplied like crazy. The confident hope that I have when it comes to my own growth is rooted in the belief that this new situation here at Calvary will be far better suited for my growth and development than the previous one. It's not that I didn't grow previously. It's not that I didn't bear fruit previously. There have been plenty of situations and plenty of people for which I will be eternally thankful because all along the way, those situations and those people have taught me a lot. They've taught me, but the one thing that they've taught me that is why I'm actually moving up here, they have taught me that I needed to be rooted more firmly in the ministry. Plan A, not plan B. You can survive when you're rooted in plan B, but you cannot thrive unless you're planted in God's plan A. So I look forward to seeing what God can do in me, through me, and many times in spite of me, in this transition from the life that I've been living in this plan B, quasi-plan B, half ministry, half not. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be here at Calvary. I've lived in Bourbonnais and Kankakee for the last 20 years, and I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a little bit of sadness about the move. There are people that I see regularly now that I won't be able to see nearly as much because of the distance. One downside of that is the fact that their ability to lovingly spur me as they have been for years, that ability will be hindered. So here in just a little bit, Dr. McCain is actually going to be going through a list of vows and commitment stuff from me and from the church. He'll be going through that process. But it doesn't really use one of the language things that I've been thinking about lately and reading. It has to do with spur. I need you, as far as Chicago Calvary, to lovingly spur me toward the things of God and the work of God. We live at a time when people actually don't want to be spurred. They don't want to be changed away from their beliefs or their particular behaviors. They want to be left alone where they're at to do what they want to do. They want to just be left alone. That's contrary to being able to grow in grace and grow in knowledge, growing into a fully mature and faithful follower of Jesus Christ. I have already said that there is plenty of room for my own growth, and so I invite you to lovingly spur me as well. Keep in mind that this spurring thing, it's reciprocal. I get to spur you back. You can't just spur me and encourage me and do all of that. I get to do that as well. And this is me giving you a heads up because that is going to happen. And people here can testify that I have a way of spurring people as well. So when it does happen, this is what I want you to remember. The one spurring you is someone who bears the marks of someone who has been lovingly spurred for quite a long time now. And the one spurring you loves you and wants to see you grow in Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there's so much going on right now. And I know the thoughts for me, there's so many people to thank. There's so much going on. I just thank you for your faithfulness. You know, with all the stuff, through it all, you have been faithful. And I thank you for the way you make dead things alive, the way you breathe life into things. And so I thank you so much for that moment years ago when you breathed new life into a call to ministry. I just ask for your blessing. I ask for your blessing on this church and the people of it. And we just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Amen.
I encourage you now to take your bulletin and the insert and follow along with us. The church has long set aside some of her members for special training and preparation, ordaining them to serve as clergy. It is a position in the church of responsibility, not privilege. A good description of the role is being a servant leader. Ministers are to serve the needs of the church. Ministers give up their lives, so to speak, for their lives are not their own. Their selection to lead among us is never just individual, it is communal. They serve if and when and where the church invites them to serve because the church has recognized their gifts and their graces for ministry. The relationship between a pastor and a group of God's people is a sacred covenant, not unlike a marriage covenant. Marriage is a great gift that becomes a true means of God's grace in our lives. It's also hard work, as anybody who's married can attest. In the church, as in a marriage, we must learn to adjust to one another, to forgive one another, and to lay down our lives serving one another. It's no small thing that as the Apostle Paul describes the relationships of husbands and wives, he begins by saying this in Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It is in that spirit of mutual submission and love that we come this morning celebrating the installation of Reverend Ryan Keel to the position of pastor of Chicago Calvary Church of the Nazarene. So first to you, Pastor Keel, will you accept the responsibility to be the spiritual leader of this flock of God's people? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
I want to say not only to all of you who are members of the congregation, but also to you who are guests, we invite you to participate in this this ceremony as well this morning. I'd like for you all to stand. I have a question I want to ask you. Everyone, please stand if you can. Will you, members and attenders today, friends of this church, will you accept and support and uphold this pastor as he leads this congregation? If so, would you all say, we will? We're going to read from the Holy Scripture now, selections from Ephesians chapter 4. And before we do, I would like to also invite the leaders of this church that are going to participate in the ceremony. Would you please come forward and find your places somewhere along the front row here? And appreciate so much each of you that's going to participate in the ceremony this morning. You can find your place over here, find your place right here as well, get the elements that you're going to be using. Reading from Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. And let's read the last section together. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Congregation may be seated. We now, and all of you can be seated, we now will enter into a symbolic participation of leaders of the congregation with the pastor at this time.
Actually, I'll first sit.
Accept this Bible and be among us. As John Wesley said, a man of one book. Be in this place a spiritual leader who proclaims the word of God.
Thank you.
Ryan, thank you. Receive this vessel of water.
The water of baptism. Inspire us to announce the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and lead us as we share our faith, so that others in our community who don't know the Lord will come to faith and be baptized.
Brother Ryan, receive this hymnal and be among us someone who leads us by example to be worshipers and help us to live at the foot of the cross.
Receive this directory containing a list of all of our families. We are your people. Pray for us and be pastor among us, that we might all be acceptable to the Lord.
Receive these tithing envelopes and remind us often that we are to be faithful stewards to all God has given us. Teach us the joy of generosity.
Accept this manual of the Church of the Nazarene and the duty of teaching and discipling our people. Remind us by the way you lead that we are not only Christians, but Nazarene Christians, global Christians who are committed to reach the entire world.
Oh. And this is Edna, by the way. Yeah, that's the next person.
Receive this oil and be a healer and a reconciler among us. Be a model of spiritual leadership.
Take this bread and cup in recognition of the authority you have as our pastor to administer the sacrament of Holy Communion. Remember that you always do this representing Jesus.
Receive this candle. This flame represents the presence of the Lord. Please lead us to practice his presence when we gather to worship our mighty God.
Thank you. In response to God's call and in gratitude for the confidence you have expressed in me, I receive these symbols of pastoral leadership. As your pastor, I pledge to you that I will be a good steward of the church. I will aim to make ours a vibrant church filled with the Holy Spirit and living together as an authentic expression of God's kingdom. As pastor, I pledge to live before you with integrity and Christian simplicity, to responsibly administer the affairs of the church and the congregation with the church board, and the people of the congregation as we carry out the work of the ministry, building up the body of Christ. To lead you in worship, even if it's a little flawed sometimes, as a worshiping leader, practicing the habits of study, prayer, reflection, preparation, for the purposes of personal growth and ministry. To encourage you, comfort you, instruct you, and challenge you by the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. To listen carefully to you, care deeply for you, work closely with you, and pray that the heart of Jesus for the lost will be at the heart of this church. That we will pray regularly for the lost people who do not know the Lord. And to be a servant leader, following the example of Jesus that he set for us.
And together, we'll have some statements on the screen. I'll read the light print, you read the dark. Congregation, do you affirm that you believe that our new pastor and our church have been led together by God, and that it is God's will we work together in his kingdom? Will you support our new pastor with respect, loyalty, love, and fervent prayer?
This we will do with God's help.
Will you give sacrificially of your means so that our new pastor can be relieved of some of the financial cares of this life and be able to give his attention to prayer and the ministry of the word?
This we will do with God's help.
Will you respond to his pastoral leadership by vigorously participating in the life of the church as we carry out God's mission to the world in the power of the Holy Spirit? Thank you. You may be seated.
Pastor Ryan, having committed yourself to this work, I charge you to fulfill your pastoral duties in the midst of this congregation of God's people. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and sound doctrine. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. By your words and by your life, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And since you have willingly and you've prayerfully called your pastor to work among you, I charge everyone in this congregation, encourage, support, and prayerfully work together with your pastor in the name of Jesus Christ, whom we serve together. I would like, at this time, I'd like to invite Pastor Ryan and Lori, if they would please come and just kneel right here at the altar. And I'd like to invite all of the church board. If the church board is here, for you who are members of the board, would you just come around and gather around this morning? And then not only the church board, but all of the individuals that participated as well, if you could come behind the board and just lay your hands on their shoulders as we pray for them. Lord, we're really grateful for our brother Ryan and our sister Lori. We know that the timing of God is perfect. We know that before they were both created in their mother's womb, you knew them. And before they were born, you had appointed them to be ministers together in the church of God. We are really grateful that you have led them to this pastorate at this time in the life of this church. We want to thank you that you have guided them and you have directed them. You have called them together, and we know that kneeling at this altar, they stand in a long tradition of not only people that they have known who've loved them and cared for them and supported them and reached out to them and prayed for them and encouraged them, but Lord, they are now having been poured into by so many people. Their lives are being set to be poured into so many others. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to give them the capacities to lead. Thank you so much for Lori. Thank you for her heart. Thank you for the way that you have guided have stretched her and you have made her such a supportive helpmate to Ryan. And we just are so grateful for the spirit that she brings into this role. Lord, would you help her not to feel pressure to be anybody else but herself? We pray that you'll help her to feel at home and she'll do everything that you want her to do. Help her to realize that you just want her to be the very best person that Lori can be. And then, Lord, we pray that you'll help the pressure to drop off and help her, Lord, just to love people. Help her to love people as you have loved her. May she feel loved and cared for by Jesus, and may she take that love and may she pour it into other people. And so, Lord, not only with Ryan, but we pray that you would give her the encouragement that she needs for the role that you have called her to as the first lady of this local church. And then, Father, I want to thank you for my brother Ryan. I thank you for his call. Thank you for his passion to want to grow. Lord, it was so joyful in my spirit to hear that we have a pastor who has such a deep desire to want to not stay where he's at. But the future, as bright as the promises of God, is every single week he learns how to be a better shepherd, how to be a better leader, how to be a better follower of Jesus the Nazarene. And so, Father, I just want to say thank you for what you put into Ryan's life. Thank you for the way that you have prepared him and guided him and directed him. And Lord, I just pray that in these days ahead, I pray that the rest of his life will be the very best of his life. I claim the promise of Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, that he will forget the former things. He will never dwell in the past. See, you are doing a new thing in his life. Now it springs up. Do you not see it? You're making a way for him, Lord. Even when it seems like there is a desert, you told us in that word, you told us in that verse that there would be streams that would be flowing. So, Father, I just want to say thank you for that. So, a mutual covenant of what you have embraced, Lord, in his spirit, in Lori's spirit, and with a sense of your dependence on the Holy Spirit, Father, we thank you that you are entering them into a new relationship, that of pastor and people. Therefore, by the authority given to me by the Chicago Central District Church of the Nazarene, I hereby install them, Lord, in front of you and this whole congregation, Ryan Keel, as pastor of the Chicago Calvary Church of the Nazarene. Lord, we pray that in your great mercy you will equip him daily with everything that he needs for doing your will in this church and in this community. And may the anointing of the Holy Spirit be on him here